Out number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from Bridgestone Arena for Game 6 tonight between the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. Preds trying to stay alive, force a Game 7, and keep their season alive tonight. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm shocked you guys are at Bridgestone Arena. You guys don't ever go to Bridgestone Arena to do the show. I mean, damn, Game 6 must be special.
Game 6 is special. It's a big game when the Robbie and Rex Road program shows up to the arena. That's what we know.
I'm shocked that Jared showed up today after being so soft last week he couldn't do the show.
Well, you know, I got my beauty sleep last night. Is it because like morning skate is just easier for you two to be there?
That's actually a big part of the reason, yes.
Yeah, I figured as much. But it's exciting. It's exciting for game number 6 tonight. It's also anxiety driving if you're somebody like me. So, yeah. I mean, I'm excited. You guys being there gets me excited.
Well, it should get you excited, and it's going to be, obviously, great crowd tonight. Big game for the Predators to try to keep their season alive. They did so in Game 5. It's been an interesting series, Jared, from the standpoint of, like, Vancouver barely getting any shot opportunities. They have 92 shots through 5 games. It's the second fewest in the history of the league through 5 games of a playoff series, and yet they find themselves up 3-2. So as you watch the way the Predators have played in this series, your confidence level that they can win tonight, force a Game 7 with a chance to advance to the second round?
I am worried to tears about tonight's game. I mean, worried. And you know what? That Boston Bruins game last night did me no favors as far as my confidence level in this game. And I'm going to tell you why. There is clearly something mental going on with the Boston Bruins. Like, you watched it last night, Robbie. I assume Joe probably didn't. But
I actually watched it, too.
Okay.
Thanks.
There's clearly something going on with the Bruins as far as, like, you know, the Stones are concerned with them after what happened last year and what looks like it's happening this year. I mean, I'd say both games 5 and 6 of that series look like the Bruins were playing with, like, this giant 10,000-pound weight on their shoulders of what happened last year. So much so that I think if they lose Game 7, the coach might get fired. But I have noticed with this series with the Predators that I feel like the Predators, you know, for some reason, the Predators play with that kind of weight on their shoulders, especially at home. You know, the Predators aren't trying to right the wrongs of having the greatest team ever last year and blowing a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. But for some reason, it's like, you know, that 12 seconds in Game 1 just completely ruined them. And then, you know, they completely blew it the other night. And this team stinks in the playoffs at Bridgestone Arena for the last however many years it's been. Now, look, they were never going to beat Colorado at Bridgestone Arena, so that really is not. But, I mean, I tell you, you guys remember 2017. They're 9-2 in the playoffs at home. And this team, I truly believe that if they had gotten home ice in 2018, that they were going to win that cup. And then everything that went down to that Winnipeg series, I was like, whoa, what happened to the home ice and the magic of Bridgestone Arena and the entire team galvanizing towards that? And right now it's like, man, I'd rather just go play in Vancouver. So if they can win tonight, my confidence level is actually pretty good about going to Vancouver to win a game because all that pressure will be on Vancouver. But tonight, oof, I'm nervous.
Well, Jared, they did not play. You're talking about playing poorly or playing with the weight of the they played extremely well in Game 4. They made terrible mistakes at the end, but the game itself, I mean, they played their game. In fact, I think that they played well in both games, but obviously couldn't get anything generated and give up the 2 power play goals in Game 3. But Game 4, they played extremely well in this building.
Some pitchers are great setup men, but they can't be closers. And I worry about the Predators' ability to close. Because if the Predators were, you know, a machine, and Vancouver's not, you know, great at that either, but if the Predators, you know, had that killer instinct in them, that closer mentality, I think that we'd be talking about whether or not they can close out the series tonight, or they may have already won it. And so I'm nervous about the Predators. And what I'm nervous about the Predators is I'm nervous about the one bad thing happening. It feels like, you know, look, bad things happen in whatever sport it may be, right? Like, you're going to give up a home run in baseball. You need to get the next guy out. You need to hope that your offense can get you a couple of runs. bad things happen in sports. Same with football. You know, yeah, they're going to break a big play here or there. Basketball, it's a game of runs. Although Rick Barnes, you know, lets their runs go on a lot longer because he doesn't call
them out. 9-minute run.
But.
Or a minute.
But then with the Predators, it feels like, especially in the series, it's like there's some sort of either self-inflicted wound or unforced error or just all in all massive screw-up. And it's almost like every time that that comes to pass, it's like, oh, no, that's going to be the mistake that does them in. I was shocked that Zadorov goal didn't do them in the other night. And so it's almost like, again, as a Predators fan, I hope I'm wrong about this, but I'm nervous about that inevitable of the Predators playing 58 great minutes, but, you know, somebody turning the puck over in their own zone because there's nobody back. And then the goalie, I'm worried about the screw up.
Jared, your thoughts on the possibility of Tyler Boyd joining the Tennessee Titans? What would you make of that receiving core if it ends up being a starting trio of Ridley, Hopkins, and Tyler Boyd?
I actually like Tyler Boyd. I think that he replaces what the Titans don't have at tight end, which is reliability, the ability to, you know, when the ball is thrown in your direction, catch it, which Chig and Wiley, I have my doubts on. I think that the young quarterback needs somebody who's reliable, who can get open, who can kind of play that short to intermediate game. You know, DeAndre plays all over the place, even though he is more of a possession receiver than he is a burner. He is not your typical possession slot receiver since he does not play the slot. And he's not a possession receiver. He's just DeAndre. And then Calvin Ridley's the guy who's going to run down the field. And so they need that kind of short, reliable, kind of vacuum cleaner of a receiver, which a lot of teams use for a young quarterback and their tight end. Your tight end can't catch. So I feel much better about this offense if that's if that's Tyler Boyd instead of Treylon Burks, who doesn't play the slot, or Kyle Phillips, who is going to get his umpteenth chance, if Joe has anything to say about it, to play the slot and return punts, and I don't have much faith in him either.
Well, since we're on the Titans and since you bailed on us last week after your epic meltdown, what kind of float are you putting together for Rand's firing parade? And I didn't catch all of this, but
I did go a little too far Thursday. Maybe a little too much.
Take that, make that a drop. My God. Also, I didn't totally catch all this, but I heard you and Chad Withrow yesterday, and you've gone back through Rand, you've determined he's lying for something. What's he doing? The GM's texting him. Please explain this latest Jared investigation.
Okay, so, I mean, if you want me to explain it, you have to let me explain it. You're not going to have to just cut me off after 20
well,
seconds.
Well, don't take 8 minutes to explain it.
Go ahead. I need this prenuptial agreement ahead of time, Joe. You guys say okay.
We have commercials. Go ahead, quickly.
Okay, so Rand came out after they picked Tavondre Sweat, and he said, you know, oh, actually, and he did an interview, you know, across the street, and he was asked, about the Sweat pick or something, and he was like, well, what people don't understand, because, you know, he's getting killed for taking Sweat at 38 when all the gurus were like, I had him ranked as a fourth-round pick. And so he was like, what people don't see is the text messages and the calls that you get when you make these kind of picks. And, you know, I got a call from a general manager that we had actually earmarked we could go below and still get this kind of player. And he called me and he said that was a good pick and that he would have taken that player. So, you know, that's just kind of, and I heard that or saw the article that said that, you know, he said that. I'm like, yeah, I don't believe. I'm like, that's great. That's convenient. You know, you're getting just annihilated by everybody, you know, nationally outside of your own town for reaching both at 7, but especially at 38. And it's really convenient that this mystery GM just said, oh, I would have taken him. And so I said on the air that I don't believe that. Like, I'm going to need proof. And Dustin in Nashville,
sure,
very loyal texter to the show. What's that?
I'm sure he'll text you the, you know, screenshot any day now. Keep going.
So Dustin in Nashville, who is a very loyal listener to my show, I don't know if he's a loyal listener to this show, but Dustin in Nashville texted in that day and said, he said the same thing last year about Colton Dow. And I replied to the text line and said, I have no recollection of that. And the next day, which was Wednesday, Dustin in Nashville did the research, sent in this text where he was like, on two separate occasions, Rand used this line about getting texts or calls from friends about how good of a pick he made One was with Colton Dowell. The other was with Skoronski. And he had it timestamped. So it wasn't like I really had to do any work to find this stuff because Dustin in Nashville, thank you, did all the work for me.
Research department.
So when it came to Colton Dowell, Rand said, quote, "You know, I got six texts. I'll say six texts and phone calls from teams around the league saying either A, that was the guy our head coach coveted, or that was the guy they were going to take in the seventh. So it just shows that he was well thought of." Skoronski, again, a different interview. Skoronski, quote, "It was cool to get texts from buddies in your area." Joe, shut up. "It was cool to get texts from buddies of your teams in your area saying, oh, that was our guy. Had this person not been there, we were going to take Skoronski." So on three separate occasions, in three separate interviews, Rand has told the same story about getting texts from his friends around the league about how he made a great pick. And so am I really supposed to believe that every time he makes a pick, some general manager texts him and says, oh, I was going to pick him? Because that seems kind of far-fetched, especially when it's Skoronski, Colton Dowell, and Tavondre Sweat.
The Colton Dowell one is interesting there.
I mean, how would, like,
our head actually, coach well, actually, this guy. Actually, so why'd you take him in the sixth?
See, that one makes me think it's the truth. Like who would even, like, no one was ripping him for Colton Dowell. Who cares?
So does it
another wonderful investigation by Jared.
Adding up. So you think he's telling the truth?
I have no idea.
I need a yes or a no.
I have no idea.
This is binary.
Jared, do you think that GMs don't constantly text each other about crap like this? Like, every time I do a fantasy draft, I bitch about every time someone's like, oh, my God, you seriously took him? He was my next pick. That's all I do in a fantasy draft.
I think, and the key word I'm using here is think, I think Rand Carthon is so insecure about his picks that he knows he's getting killed for the Tavondre Sweat pick, so he thinks that everybody's so stupid that he can make up this bull crap about, oh, yeah, a GM texted me, so there. The exact same way he thought he could get up in front of the fans and say, well, the reason our team sucked last year was because the ball didn't bounce our way. Or the way that he got up there a week ago and said, this feels like my first draft, when it was not. Because he thinks the people that are listening to him, the fans, the media, he thinks that they are so stupid that nobody will call him on it. And that's why he says these things. And that's what I don't like. To me, it's blatant bullcrap. And if the GM cannot be accountable for his own pick, has to make up some forcocta story to say, oh, yeah, my girlfriend that you don't know who goes to another high school, she was the one who said that I made a good pick, so screw Mel Kiper. If he can't be accountable for his own pick, so insecure that he has to make up a GM every time he's asked about a pick, then to me, how can he hold everybody else accountable?
My God, you're obsessed. It's
Jared,
really a problem.
Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. We'll keep your seat warm here at Barrel House for later this afternoon.
Those are literally my seats, by the way.
Yes, I'm sure they are. They look
those
good.
Bar stools are my, like, I bought those.
You brought them in?
All right, see you guys.
See you, Jared. We'll take your reaction to what Jared had to say. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rick's Road. 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate Jared Stelman for being with us in the last segment. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock.
Right.
All right, tell me what you think of that crap. Come on.
Well, look, do I have deep down any idea whether or not Rand Carthon's telling the truth when he talks about GMs text them about picks and that somebody was going to take Tavondre Sweat after they did at 38. I have no idea.
A nine-minute run.
Thank
Very
you.
Very nice. I've seen Jared has sent me some of the clips of him saying this a lot. He does say it a lot. I will say that. He does talk about people texting him about his picks a lot. So I will say that. So I guess you could take that whatever way you want to take it. If he's making that up, that would be very concerning to me. I don't know how you would ever prove that, but
it would be. However, even if Rand Carthon is completely lying about all those texts, it's not more concerning than Jared doing the work to find these things.
Well, Dustin
really
in Nashville
is not.
Dustin in Nashville did the work.
Well, that's true. I suppose he does. I mean, he's got a fleet of detectives out here working for him. I will say that I've heard that from a million GMs a million times, right? I mean, that's a very popular thing, and I'm sure there's a certain percentage of it that's BS. Maybe Rand just totally made it up every time. I don't know. Tony in Smyrna says, Jared must believe the earth is flat and the moon landing was fake. Liam McLeod has to be exhausting to live inside that head. Gover says, all caps, only I can be arrogant, damn it. This is good. Jared's getting ratioed on the text line. Again, I appreciate his diligence. I just don't care. I don't give a crap. I mean, like, it doesn't, like, saying that some GM said, oh, I really liked that. I really wanted that guy. Like, it's not like it, what does that do? Does that help Rand in any way?
Well, look, I mean, if let's operate under this theory for about 30 seconds that he was making it up. And that, I mean, look, Jared is right from the standpoint of the sweat pick in particular. A lot of people around the NFL are like, eh, I don't know about that. Like, what are you doing picking T'Vondre Sweat at number 38? So, I mean, I guess, like, if you're Carthon and you are that concerned with what people think, which to me is not a very good spot to be if you're a GM. But if you are that concerned about what people think, maybe trying to ease the blow on you after that. But, I mean, other than that, I don't know what purpose it serves.
Yeah, I mean, even with Sweat, the Sweat's totally it's, well, we're scared away from all this stuff, no way. But I guarantee you the Titans were not the only team that were like, yeah, he could be really good, right?
Sure.
And all it takes is one to text Rand, but I don't know.
The question is, like, was anybody else going to take him – close to 38,
yeah,
right? That's
and
the
separate from that text, he has said he believes so. But, yeah, we will never know for sure. Megan says Jared probably questions the intentions of his kitchen appliances every time he makes breakfast. We will use AI very responsibly on this station.
We will.
I will tell you that.
We will do that.
Now, Sean says, please don't talk about Jared for the next 15 minutes. Okay, we'll stop.
Okay. He seems to be very confident, though, that if they can win tonight in Game 6, Game 7, a lot of pressure on Vancouver. I will say the one, and I was thinking about this yesterday, it hasn't played out the same way in terms of the score, but in terms of the series results, I think back to 2011. Vancouver won game one, Preds won game two, Vancouver won games three and four here in Nashville, Preds won game five, Vancouver won game six here in Nashville. It's played out the exact same way so far in 2024. It's kind of weird.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. And of course, you think back to the Carolina series, now that was very different. It was all home wins. Then, you know, you get back to game six and Carolina won it in this building. So that is – so Jared did bring up a point that's worth talking about, thankfully, one, which is the home losing streak here for the Preds in the playoffs. That is –
it's five in a row.
So, they've lost five in a row. It goes back to that game six against Carolina.
Correct.
The two against Colorado and then, yeah, which is – it is surprising. There's no doubt. I do think, like, even going back to the Winnipeg series, which was wild, and it was a totally road. That is also the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? I mean, statistically, like, the basketball hockey difference is pretty significant without having the numbers right in front of me in terms of home mattering. It matters less than hockey for sure. But Jared's right. In the 17 run, they were incredible and felt almost unbeatable here. Who beat them? Well, Pittsburgh obviously got him in game six. And before that, Anaheim got him in
game four, I think.
Yeah.
When Johansson's leg
apartment syndrome, and you thought it was over. But I disagree, though, in terms of, like, playing with the weight of the world. They screwed up. They screwed up the last game. There's no getting around it. They screwed up. They had some bad breaks. They screwed up, all that stuff. But they played. Like, I still think that they played their game. And if they do that again tonight, they're going to be in – they're going to have a great chance to win the game.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans and the possibility of signing Tyler Boyd. He was apparently here in Nashville yesterday. Did not leave with a deal, but apparently there's still interest there between Boyd and the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt Baseball takes on Georgia with pregame at 4:45, first pitch at 5 o'clock. Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. MidtennessBest.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, Game 6 between the Preds and Canucks coming up tonight. Taking your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler Boyd, Joe, apparently meeting with the Titans yesterday. Paul Kuharsky put it out there that he left Nashville without a deal, but that there remains interest between both sides. We talked a little bit yesterday about the possibility of adding Boyd to the mix there and what that could do for this wide receiver core. What would, in one offseason, let's say this plays out and it happens, and they go from what we saw last year in that wide receiver room, which was basically DeAndre Hopkins, a little sprinkle of NWI. That's about it in the wide receiver move. Chris Moore made some catches here or there. If they go from that to Hopkins, Ridley, Tyler Boyd as your starting trio, your three wide receivers that will be on the field the most, how big of an upgrade is that in one offseason? What does that do for this team?
It would threaten the cornerback upgrade, although I think the cornerback upgrade would still definitely take the cake. But, man, what a transformation that would be. By the way, good job, Paulie, making yourself useful, unlike Stilly. Yes. Interesting that he was here. There's no deal out there searching for the best deal, but clearly there's interest, and this could really happen. Yeah, it would be – it really is. When you think about it like that, like you laid it out there, that last year's receiving core compared to this – and obviously they did have one standout, unlike the corner group last year. I mean, I guess you could say McCreary, but McCreary did what he could. But he's in the slot, but they had one standout at least at receiver, and it was Hopkins. And I don't know if Hopkins can – at some point, I guess you wait for someone to fall off a little bit at his age. So I don't know if he's going to be able to – actually, his production probably will go down a little bit with better receivers. But that's the other two guys coming in, that's a big deal. Boyd is – I guess you could always play the game of how much did Boyd benefit from Chasing Higgins, right? He had Joe Burrow throwing to him. He had great conditions around him.
He was a 1,000-yard receiver before those two ever got there.
He was, but that was a few years ago.
It was.
So, but clearly an upgrade. There's no doubt. There's no doubt it would be an upgrade. He's reliable. He obviously knows Brian Callahan's offense. I mean, I think it would be a perfect situation. And then, even though Jared likes to joke, I mean, I think that definitely spells probably the end for Kyle Phillips. And then it probably means Jaquan Jackson can – basically, you look at him like he's their hopeful returner, and then Burks is your fourth receiver, and NWI is your fifth receiver.
I mean, if Boyd comes in and you're able to find a deal for him, you're talking about – I mean, it's not – by no means is it an elite wide receiving room, but it's a pretty darn good one all of a sudden with those three. You have totally revamped your corner room. You have drafted what you hope to be – your franchise left tackle. Now we'll see if he actually ends up being a franchise left tackle. You've added kind of that big body up the middle to go along with Simmons. I mean, you've signed a center. There's a lot. That's a lot that you've done in one offseason if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans. So,
You've gotten a lot of texts from other GMs.
You have gotten a lot of texts, apparently.
Supporting your picks, and I mean, that's, hopefully.
Jerry wants to know
texts.
Whether or not you believe Rand Carthon, yes or no. That's his question to me.
I couldn't care less. I could not care less.
He's not going to be happy with that answer.
Who gives a crap?
He's not going to be happy with that answer.
Switzerland. Someone done a text and said, you deserve an Oscar for being Switzerland. You know, you need to yell at him. You make me yell at him all the time.
I prefer it when you yell at him. It's a lot funnier.
Sometimes you want to yell at him, though. Come
Sometimes
on.
Sometimes I do. Just not as often as you do. Yeah. Not as often as you do.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't do that Stephen A. Smith gif. I don't care. I don't care. Think about like driving yourself crazy trying to figure out if someone's lying about texts they got from other GMs or not. My God.
Andrew on the text line. I am so thankful for a staff that's worrying about something other than running it 35 times per game. I mean, they signed Tony Pollard too, so we don't know that they're not going to run it 35 times a game. They got two pretty good backs.
Got rid of that 1983 offense, yeah.
Two pretty good backs out
there.
They do.
They might hand off some this year. J.C. Latham.
How about this?
Run blocking demon.
He is.
Just saying.
Doug and Franklin, there's a rumor that Juwan Jennings could be available for a fifth round draft pick. Does that make any sense if Boyd does not get signed to a deal? I've not seen this rumor, but Juwan Jennings certainly played well in the
Super Bowl. It's a very
specific
rumor. Yep. Yeah. First of all, that would kind of surprise me because he's been a nice depth guy and kind of energy guy for them, make some plays. I like Juwan Jennings. I don't know that stylistically he's what you're looking for. I mean, I love what he brings. Like I said, the intensity and all that stuff. He'll make plays. I don't know that. You know, I think the receiving core, and certainly Ridley brings that speed element. That's the idea. That's the hope, right? That he brings that speed element they've been missing. They've got big bodies who can make contested catches, although Treylon Burks, I guess I'm counting him in that, and he actually hasn't demonstrated much ability to do that in NFL games. But I don't know that Jennings is a fit stylistically.
Wes in Clarksville says, when a player makes a visit and then leaves to search for money, wouldn't that be a bad sign because they're more concerned about money than winning football games?
No.
To which my reply is, DeAndre Hopkins did the exact same thing last year.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty well.
I mean, when anyone interviews for any job, if there's another possibility of someone hiring them, are they not supposed to see if they could get more money at one of the jobs? I don't. That's concern. They got to be only care about this company succeeding. They can't worry about their salary. Sorry, Wes. I think Jared has gotten me so pissed off now that I'm just going to snap on everyone.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
I think I've got a plan to just fix all this, Joe, because I've said the same thing. Like, I don't know why it's, like, unnecessarily ticking me off, like, all this stuff he's making up. I'm just going to wait till Barry Trotz comes on the show and texts the entire segment, that dude's lying. Like, that's a lie. The GM, he's lying. He's clearly lying. Like, just do it, because we know he's not. I think if he would just get out of his own way and if it was something more personal, like Barry Trotz is to him, then he would see that, like, what he's saying is so stupid, man. Like, he's bored. I told him that, dude. I think he needs content. Like, his show needs content. He's bored.
We have content at this time of year. This is stuff you do in July.
That's what. Hey, I promise you, I texted him that, too. I said, I hope the Preds win just because I don't want to hear any more opinions about Rand Carthon. Like, I want you to talk about the Preds for 4 hours. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, man. I'm just going to call and just abuse him about Barry Trotz for an hour.
I support it.
Thank you for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, this started as a Tyler Boyd segment. Now it's a bashing Jared segment, which I'm cool with.
But I know. Well, LD on the text line was like, isn't it convenient Jared had some coach texted him something, and then Jared pipes in and says, I showed it to Chris and Derek on the air. And then I said, stop using the text line during our show, Jared.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Dustin in Hopkinsville. Dustin, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, brother?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to reply to, not the last caller, Adam, because he wants to talk about the Preds, which I do too, but on the caller or texture about Boyd leaving and looking for more pay. So when I started my electrical field job, I was driving from Hopkinsville to Nashville, and I had two job interviews, one with I ain't going to say because I guess I can't on air, but one was for more money, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this. And I'm not even going to go to the other interview. And I got to think about, you know what, I'm getting older, wiser. You know, I'm going to go see what the other company has to say. They were $2 less an hour, but the way the manager came across to me and just the family feel of the other place, I had to text the other guy and tell him, I was like, look, man, thank you for the opportunity. Sorry to waste your time, but I'm going with this other company because I just felt at home at the other place. So I think Tyler Boyd, you know, he, if we want players that are like that mindset, if it's $500,000 less, the taxes here, you know, you have to weigh that all in. I'm going to hang up and let y'all talk.
Well, thanks for calling. If the money's close, then I agree. Like, if the money is, you know, there's $2 million of a gap, there's $2 million of a gap, right? Like, that's a big difference. So, like, if the money's close, I agree with what you're saying there. You know, obviously, Brian Callahan has a lot of familiarity with Boyd as well, so you would think that that helps the Titans in this pursuit. Now, having said that, I mean, to me, at the end of the day, it still comes down to the offer, right? Like, if somebody else offers Tyler Boyd you know, $7 million more than the Titans to go play football, that's probably where he's going to end up.
Look, we talk all the time about guys get to 29 years old. It's like, gosh, he's old, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, can he still do it? I mean, running back, you're old at 28. Receiver, you get to 30, and we start to wonder. You get every dollar you can get. So there's other factors, of course, but that's, I think most people would approach it exactly that way. I know I would. Phillip's asking about Zay Jones, and there, of course, is a Nick Holt's connection there with Zay yep. Jones. More of a deep threat, I suppose. I think Tyler Board's a better player, personally.
I would agree.
So I think he would fit in well with what they already have.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning. We'll do that next. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
So, I'd like to promote a couple things on The Athletic.
Oh, good.
Real quick.
Good.
You guys really think I'm a good promoter?
Yeah.
Probably the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. Top three. Yep. Right up there.
Yeah. Here's another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad.
I'm talking about
your load, your workload.
Not
what the hell is wrong with people?
It is time for the Rex Rant. Keister's getting a lot of control. A lot of drops going on. A lot of stuff.
Who's working harder? Keyser putting together some of these things or Jared finding Rand comments about his text line?
Neck and neck.
A lot of hard work going on.
Jared
program
work.
At this Jared. Station. So speaking of Jared, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not talking about Jared. I'm going to talk about Patrick Beverly, who, from what I can tell, has a quote tweet from every single person I follow on X. If you haven't seen it yet, there's a video from last night. Denied a locker room interview to an ESPN reporter because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast. This is moments after he threw a basketball into the crowd in the Bucks' season-ending loss at Indiana. Hit a woman in the head. She was just minding her own business. Hit her in the side of the head, which means his fan-targeted passing is about as accurate as a broke-ass jump shot. And then all these, and he threw it again, by the way, and so then they immediately threw the fans out. Now, look, you throw the fans out, you want to try to minimize a potential issue, but my goodness, terrible look. Then we find out after this thing, apparently all the Bucks reporters who want to talk to him also have to subscribe to his podcast.
Yeah.
In fact, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist wrote about that a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, here's the thing. Like, we've known Patrick Beverly is a self-important jackass already. But what I want to see is I want to see the NBA actually step up and deliver a punishment that tells everyone else this behavior is disgusting and unacceptable. So, waiting on you, Adam Silver. And also, if you watch this video, I really would have liked to see one of the other reporters in this stupid scrum step up a little bit. And everyone just kept asking away. Everything's fine. You know, it's fine also to step up at times and not be total slappies, which is a segue to an absolutely unbearable slappy I discovered this week in media. His name is Jake Schwanitz, at Jake DNVR, and he covers the Colorado Buffaloes for a fan site. Also, he's got Go Blue in his bio. I don't know what that means.
Interesting.
I'm just saying he's got Go Blue in his bio. So let me give you context on this. My coworker, I guess that's why we're going here, Max Olson, works at The Athletic. He did a really good story this week, and a fair story, on the Colorado Buffaloes that Deion Sanders shooed out of Colorado when he took over, like where they are now, and there were some details on how it all went down. It was a really good piece. It's a really fair piece. Max does great work, and it pissed off Colorado. And so then some of those players started getting into social media fights. Like Shedeur Sanders is like, I never heard of this dude. He must be mid or whatever. And then Deion starts quote tweeting like their stats at Austin Peay and making fun of them.
I saw that.
And basically looking as professional and mature as Patrick Beverly does today. So this is how fanboy slappy Jake Schwanitz reacted on his, I guess, his podcast.
Specifically the weirdo at The Athletic who graduates from Nebraska.
Yep.
And gets the okay to write a Colorado hit piece. So at least we wear our bias on our sleeves.
Literally.
We're wearing the stuff. It's called DNVR Buffs Podcast. Like, we're upfront about that.
Yep.
This is a publication who's supposed to be about journalism and about telling the truth and both sides of the story
and
not being disingenuous. And they go out here and pull the most Bush League bull move I think I've seen from another media outlet covering Coach Prime in Colorado. The double standard, too, of some people in Colorado. You know, they poke and take shots all the time at willy-nilly. Whatever, anything, little thing happens, walk-on cornerback enters the portal. What's going on at Colorado, all that. And then Shador and Coach Prime have enough, and they clap back. And I don't care if you think it was right or not. They deserve a chance to clap back because they've been getting picked on their whole lives for this stuff at Colorado ever since they showed up. But then they freak out like, oh, they can't say this. Like, what's the point of this tweet?
Yeah.
You started it! They're upset because Coach Prime is all about himself. He doesn't defend his players and stuff. And then he does, and then it's, oh, he can't say that. You can't say that. Nope, no, sir. It's just, it's ridiculous, honestly. And it's not going to stop. I mean, we're still talking about the 2022 roster, which is insane. And, yeah, I don't care. I support Coach. I support the players, everything they've said.
Coach! I just support the coach. Coach Prime!
Coach Prime! Coach Prime has been made his entire life. I mean, my God, man. My favorite, though, is, like, Max Olsen graduated from Nebraska. Like, he gives a rat's ass. I mean... First of all, like Nebraska and Colorado care about each other. I can't even.
Maybe back in the day.
And Max, by the way, if you want to go back through his history, it includes writing about Colorado last year amid all the excitement about Deion Sanders. It's like the fact that they would go there kind of tells you what we're talking about here. Like there's absolutely no ability to look at anything remotely reasonably or objectively. Everything just has to be fan, and this is just another great example of that. There is nothing you can find, you know, fan media that is at times very grating in any corner of sports now, but college football, I mean, there is just nothing like this stuff.
Coach!
And I stand by Coach Prime. Coach Prime, I stand with you. That's, I mean, it's thing. Just...
If anybody refers to him as Coach Prime... You're not getting very much seriousness taken from me.
And that's the thing. He has demanded that, you know.
Good for him.
Actually, I believe it was a friend of the show in Tennessee. I think it was Nick Suss. I believe it was Nick Suss who was just going, okay, so Deion, that's Coach Prime. So anyway, Deion. So, and Deion. Interview over.
Yeah.
Just a lot of unbearable behavior. Yes, certainly from sports figures, but also from media. I mean, be better, please.
I am very fascinated to see how good they are this year. I mean, look, they were the story of college football last year for about 3 weeks. And then it was done, and they got the crap beat out of them by Oregon. And then they actually started to play, you know, real teams on a schedule. It didn't go very well for Colorado after that. You know, look, you know, obviously they had some injuries that they dealt with too. But, I mean, Shador Sanders, we were talking about the quarterback class for 2025 the other day, and there's – I think he's the betting favorite right now to be the number one overall pick. So, look, a lot can change from now until then. A lot will change between now and then. I am interested to see how that goes for Deion up in year two.
Better win a lot this year with Travis Hunter and Shador.
Yep.
Better win a lot this year. And I've gone back and forth on this, too, because I was swept up in it last year. I was like, this is great. This is so fun. And look at what they're doing. They're fun to watch. And then he does the demotion, the staff. And you can see it's an emperor with no clothes eventually. His approach to high school recruiting is insane to me. Like, he doesn't visit. It's not sustainable. If he proves me wrong, great. It doesn't change that. Like, you are a head coach. You are a, quote, you know, leader of men. You have all these young people who you are responsible for. You also have had an incredibly successful career in sports, and you lower yourself to ripping on some kid who plays for Austin Peay because of his stats. My God, there's a lot. There's a lot this week that glad we were able to cram it all into one segment. But geez,
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the potential addition of Tyler Boyd for the Titans and his thoughts on the 2024 draft class now that it's wrapped up as well. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, The Game.